Take your Bibles. Turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Now, last week, James was pretty tough on us. There's no two ways about it. He was pretty tough. He really got down to business with those who were treating the poor unfairly and taking advantage of them. And he really got down to where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Now, in verse number 7, we're going to take up today, and it's going to be a little bit of different tone in the voice of James as he deals with these few verses in James chapter 5, beginning in verse number 7. Again, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word as we read verses 7 through 11. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "And therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for who you are. And Father, whether we feel good or feel bad, you're still the great Almighty God of all things. And we celebrate you. We rejoice in who you are. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word to help us to understand you better, to help us to get to know you better. And Father, I pray this morning that we will take your word, we would rightly divide your word, that we might grow thereby, that we might be pleasing in your sight, bring honor to your name, because you deserve all honor and praise. Father, we pray that you'll speak to hearts this morning through your word. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. As I began to look at this passage of Scripture in chapter 5, verse 7 through 11, I was reminded of a story that a missionary told. And I can't remember who the missionary was. He had served in a number of different places, but he had also served for a period of time in Africa. And he tells a story of a family in Africa that barely made it from day to day, barely made it from year to year, and barely survived. And so this family would take, and in the spring, they would, in their springtime, they would plant the fields with grain. And then they would harvest that grain, and that was pretty well what they lived off of for the rest of the year. And so, being as poor as they were, they never had quite enough. And so, it was the mother and dad's duty to ration out the grain on a daily basis. It was never enough to fill the bellies of their children. It was just enough to sustain life. And a child being a child, always wanted more. I mean, they're hungry, and I can understand that. And they constantly wanted more. There was a day of great excitement in that family when one day one of the older boys in the family was rummaging around and found an extra bag of grain that he thought no one knew anything about. And he brings it in to the family and said, "Now we can have enough. We can have more. We can have enough to fill our bellies." And his father had to explain to him that that was not an extra bag of grain. That was the seed grain for the next year. And that regardless of how hungry they got, they could not sacrifice their future to have a full belly today. The kids didn't understand. It just didn't make sense to them that there was a bag of grain and they were not going to be able to touch it. And so they went on through that year just barely surviving. Time came to plant. And to the horror of the children who still don't quite understand what's going on, the father takes that grain and throws it out on the dirt. We could have eaten that grain. We could have had that. They didn't understand. And the father tried to explain to them, but it did not make any sense. And yet the father was patient enough to know that if he planted the grain, and the rains came, the grain began to grow, they would have enough to survive for another year. He understood the need for patience. When they wanted to take it right now and use it and eat it so that they could feel full now, but yet they would starve in the future. As I thought about that, I thought about this passage of Scripture, because in our lives, the Lord allows many things to come our way that are not pleasant or hurt. They seem to hurt. They seem to cause pain. And we, honestly, many times we act like little children. And we're saying, God, why can't we just have happiness and goodness and everything right now? Can we just kind of hoard it up right now? But God knows that patience is needed for the grain to bear the fruit that is needed for the years to come. In this passage of Scripture, James very quickly changes his tone of voice. In chapter number 5, verse 1 through 6, James is dealing with those who have been treating people unfairly. And I mean, he really nails them to the wall for doing that. And he really challenges them because they have been so unfaithful to the Lord that it appears they're not even Christian. They're not even acting like a Christian should act. In verse number 7, he begins to deal with those who are not the ones who are persecuting, not the ones who are oppressing, but he begins to deal with those who have been oppressed, those who have been the victim, those who have been put down, those who have been hurt. And he begins to deal with this subject of patience. Now, in honesty, this is probably a message that I need worse than any of you. I understand that. Never believe that when a preacher preaches a passage of Scriptures because he's got it mastered. You know? This is easy for me. Mr. Patience is my name. Ask my wife. Yeah. She will not tell you that. I guarantee you that will not be the answer she gives you. And so this morning, maybe you get to listen on in on the Lord speaking to me in the area of patience. But maybe, just like me, there's a few of you that have a little bit of trouble being patient. So with that said, let's look at this passage of Scripture. Maybe the Lord can use this in your life as well as my life this morning. So first of all, let's define the word patient as it is used here, because sometimes words are translated in the English version of the Bible, may be translated patient, but they may have a little bit different shade of meaning in their original language. This word that is translated patient means to be long-tempered. Now, the word is actually a compound Greek word, makrothumos. Macro carries the idea of being large or long. Is in microeconomics, macroeconomics. Macro is large view. So he said makrothumos. The word thumos is anger. Literally, this is to be long-tempered. You ever heard of anybody that was short-tempered? Oh, yeah, maybe some of us. It might be described that way at times and in different ways. But he said, I am dealing with you, or I'm going to talk to you about being long-tempered, about being patient. Hey, wait a minute. Let me kind of hone in on somebody over here. Brady, you're about to go into basic training. There are going to be some guys that are going to see if you're long-tempered or not, or if you're short-tempered, and they're going to try to, push your buttons and see if they can get a reaction out of you. But, by the way, Brady's not the only one going into basic training. Some of us are in basic training. Do you know that? Yeah, and God allows people to come into our life, and guess what they do? They push our buttons. Oh, and they know exactly how to push our buttons. They know exactly what gets under our skin. And God allows those people in our life to build in us patience. And patience is an important attribute according to the Lord. In fact, I have put in this passage of scripture, on your study guide, I believe, this statement. Patience is a righteous characteristic that God expects all believers to possess no matter what trial they face. God wants us to be patient, to be long-tempered. God doesn't want us to be short-tempered. He doesn't want us to be snapping at every little thing, everyone that comes by and pushes our button, every little circumstance in life that comes that rubs us the wrong way. He doesn't want us to blow up on that. He wants us to be patient. He wants us to handle it well, that we might exhibit Christ-like characteristics in the midst of the trials and circumstances of life. So with that said, very quickly, let's look at some things that he gives us in this passage of Scripture that will help us grow in patience. And I think these are important things. I think they're things that will help us today, just as they help the people of the time that James is writing. Number one on your study guide. If you're going to grow in patience, you got to fix your faith on the surety of the Lord's return. Fix your faith on the surety of the Lord's return. Now, look with me at verse number 7. He says, therefore. Now, remember, when you read a therefore in the Bible, you always ask why it's therefore. And it is there because of what he has just shared in verse 1 through 6. There are people being oppressed. They are being taken advantage of. They're being promised wages and they do the work and then they're not getting paid the full wages. They're being cheated. He says, therefore, be patient. Wait a minute. What if on payday your boss doesn't pay you? Well, he better. I'll give him a piece of my mind. Be patient. Now, also notice he's talking to those who claim the name of Christ. He makes it very plain. Therefore, be patient, brethren. I'm not talking to those that are outside the church. I'm talking about those inside the church that name the name of Christ, and you say that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to exhibit Christ-like attitudes, Christ-like characteristics, be patient. Be patient. Okay, let's hit home right here. Be patient with our government. Do we agree with everything the government's doing? No. But as a Christian, there's a right and a wrong way to show that. Be patient. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. In fact, if you'll notice in verse 7, 8, and 9, each of those three verses, he refers to the coming of the Lord, to the coming of the presence of the Lord. He is referring to the fact that there's going to come a time when things as they know it, things as they're experiencing, circumstances, difficult people, difficult problems will come to an end and the Lord will return. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed in us." You know why? Paul's saying, I have my eye on the fact that he's coming back. I have my eye on the fact that he is coming back. Now, immediately, he gives us an example. In case we're kind of struggling about this thing called patience, when he's saying, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. By the way, how long do you be patient? Until he comes back. Be patient until he comes back. Now, because some of us would say, well, I'll be patient this week, but I'm not going to be patient next week. Enough's enough. And so he says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. Then notice the next phrase. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. When I was growing up, we lived right next door to my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was a Walker. I don't think he's related to any of the Walkers here. We grew up in Marietta. But he was in his older years. I mean, he was kind of feeble and everything. But he was not, you could not call him patient by any shape or form. So my dad goes in behind our house, plows up a section, plants corn. A week later, that stuff not coming up. He went out there and plowed it all up. Replanted it because it didn't suit him. If he had only been patient, it was just a short period of time that corn would be bursting through. Now, in this passage of Scripture, James says, hey, take a lesson from the farmer. The farmer doesn't go out there 1 week into it and say, well, this stuff's not coming up. Let's get rid of it. Like my grandfather, great-grandfather did. The farmer says it's going to take some time. It's going to take time to come up. And it's not going to come up and he's going to say, wow, look at that. Not a bit of grain on that. Give it some time. Give it some time. It's going to mature and grain's going to come on. Give it time and that grain's going to ripen. Give it time and it'll be time to harvest. James is saying in this passage of Scripture, be patient until the coming of the Lord, because the Lord's got a process in work in my life and in your life whereby it takes patience to see the full fruit of what's coming. Listen, some of you may be married to somebody that tries your patience. Don't punch anybody right now, okay? But in that process, be patient. God's developing some things in you that need to be there. Some of you go to church with people that try your patience. I think it's time for me to move on. These people try my patience. No, maybe it's time for you to let God do his perfect work and bring it to maturity. Here's the whole thought of that, very quickly. Notice the statement. You have it on your study guide. The obvious idea of this exhortation was that believers should realize that their trouble is temporary. That there will come a time when we're in the presence of the Lord where these things will be gone. They will not last forever. Notice what he says in verse number 8. And just as the farmer in verse number 7, he's given the example. Verse 8, he says, you too be patient. Don't expect everything to work out by Friday. You know, I'm going to give this to the end of the week. If it doesn't work out, I'm over. I'm over. No. Be patient. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts. In other words, don't faint. Don't give up. Don't give in because everything's not going your way right now. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now, if he was able to say the coming of the Lord is near at that point, can we say it with even more emphasis? Absolutely. Fix your faith on the surety of the Lord's return. That's one way to help keep us patient is we're looking forward to the Lord's return, regardless of what we have to deal with. Number two, fix your heart on your accountability to the Lord. Fix your heart on your accountability to the Lord. He, in verse 9, he calls them to remember that every one of us are accountable to the Lord. Wouldn't it be bad to have gone through difficulty in your life, gone through it for years and years, and given up just before the victory was to be seen in that area? Wouldn't it be bad? I would rather let the Lord accomplish all he wants to accomplish through it, and maybe it take a little longer. Look at verse 9. He says, do not complain. That word also carries the idea, do not internalize this and become bitter about it either. Do not complain, brethren, against one another. In other words, here's the picture. It's difficult. I don't like it. I don't, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a circumstance, maybe whatever. I don't like it, I don't like it, I don't like it, I don't like it, and I, on top of that, I don't like it. So what I'm going to do is as soon as my wife comes home from work, I'm going to gripe about it. And I'm going to gripe to her. And I'm going to make her life miserable because my life is miserable. Honestly. Has anybody ever had a problem on the job and brought it home and complained and made your wife or husband miserable because of it? And the rest of you, you need to be, we need to pray for you about lying. So, yeah, we do it all the time. Something doesn't go well for me, sometimes I snap back at Tammy about it. Sometimes she has wonderful days at the hospital where she doesn't agree with doctors, and doctors don't agree with her, and she may take it out on me a little bit. That's rare. By the way, that is rare. That is rare, 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 rare. But it's possible. And so, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. He said, by the way, let me remind you that the judge of all things, is just right at the door. You're going to be held accountable for you how you handle these circumstances. If we perfectly understood that, that's scary. That is scary. But because we don't see that he's right at the door, we think we can do anyway. Let me give you an example in a cartoon. I think it might have been an old Calvin cartoon or something. There was a cartoon where the guy was sitting in his office, and clearly he's looking out the window daydreaming. The next view, in walks the boss. The boss says, why aren't you working? To which he responds, I would have been if I'd seen you coming. That is exactly the way we are with the coming of the Lord. If we knew that he was really coming and that he was really coming soon, we'd get serious about this thing. But because sometimes we kind of put that in the back, that that's not going to happen, it's all right if I'm not patient. It's all right if I blow up. It's all right if I don't handle this well. Number three, very quickly, follow the example of those who have gone on before you. Follow the example of those who have gone on before you. The Bible is filled with examples of people who had to be patient in the midst of horrible, horrible circumstances. Look at verse 10. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets. How many, anybody in here would want it to be an Old Testament prophet? honey, I want to change place. Oh, I would have loved to have been an Isaiah. Oh, I would have loved to be a Jeremiah. I would have loved to have them saw me in two. I would have loved to have them stone me. I would have loved to have them throw me in a pit. No. He said, if you're having trouble with patience, let me give you a good example. Go back and look at the prophets. Standing for absolute right. Amen? Standing for absolute right and hated for it. Despised for it. Imprisoned for it. Their bodies inflicted with bodily harm because of their stand for right. Well, they say, okay, Lord, I'm giving up. Not going to be a prophet anymore. No. They're patient. And they stay right with it. He said, use the example of the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, why that is important is this. Satan will have you think that you're the only one that's ever had it bad. You're the only one that's ever had a problem like this. You're the only one that's had a wife or a husband that's hard to deal with. Nobody else has ever had that. You're the only one that has had a rebellious child. You're the only one that had a boss that chewed you out every day. You are the only one. Never mind, I better not go there. You're the only one that's had these difficulties to deal with. And the Bible tells us plainly in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but that which is common to man. You're not alone in this. There have been many that have gone before you that have faced similar difficulties. If you're going to grow in patience, you need to follow the example of those who have gone before. Number four, consider the blessing of God on those who are patient. The Bible records a record of those who have patiently dealt with difficult people, difficult circumstances, and we sense and see the blessing of God on their lives as a result. Look at verse 11. He says, we count those blessed who endured. How many of you, when we mention the name Job, think, wow, what a jerk? No. The immediate thing that comes to mind when we think of Job is, wow, a man who patiently endured and was blessed of God. He said, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcomes of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. People who endure are the objects of divine favor. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to have $1 million. I'm not saying that you're going to get new cars and that sort of thing, but you're the objects of divine favor when you're obedient to the Lord. Now, what that divine favor may look like in your life, you may learn lessons in that patience that, by the way, I've seen people that have gone through terrible circumstances in life. They always seem to be happier, more satisfied, more settled than anybody else. I've heard of missionaries that have suffered greatly, and you see them in their latter years, and they're like the rock of Gibraltar. They're steadfast. They're settled. That's nothing but the blessing of God. If that has borne fruit, it has settled in their life in such a way that there's a great testimony. That's exactly what I believe he's talking about here. Number five, very quickly. Remember the purpose of the Lord. Now, when I say remember the purpose of the Lord, nothing comes into my life or your life by accident. Even the guy that cuts you off in traffic and then goes 2 miles an hour. Even that guy is not an accident in your life. Not easy for me to deal with, but it is not an accident. Listen to verse 11. We count those blessed who endured. You heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. In other words, God has an outcome. God has a purpose. God has a plan in every circumstance that comes our way. Let me give you four very quickly. Letter A, to test your faith and prove it genuine. Listen, God never tests our faith to see it fail. He tests our faith or allows our faith to be tested that it can prove it genuine, so we can see the genuine nature of that faith. Now, letter B, to thwart Satan's attempt to destroy your faith. See, Satan would love to destroy your faith. He would love to allow things into your life that would destroy your faith, and God will allow things into your life to thwart Satan's attempts, to stop Satan from doing that. Letter C, to strengthen your faith and to enable you to see God more clearly. To strengthen your faith and enable you to see God more clearly. Then letter D, simply to increase your blessings. Hey, does God delight in blessing his children? I mean, that's kind of a dumb question, right? It's like, do you delight in giving good things to your children? Yes, and God is a much better parent than we are. And he delights in blessing his children. Number six, very quickly. Rest in the assurance of the consistent character of God. Rest in the assurance of the consistent character of God. This morning in our group time, we were talking about God using the name I am. I am that I am. Basically, I am, I will be, I have been, I always am. I don't change. What we see here in verse 6 is the consistent character of God. Notice the last part of verse 11. That the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. James coins a word there that I don't think is used anywhere else in the New Testament, and I couldn't pronounce it if I tried. But it basically means this: the Lord, get it, listen, the Lord is many boweled. You know what bowels are? The gut, I mean, the stomach. The Lord is many-boweled. Now, why that is so important, in Jewish thought, the stomach in this area was the seat of all emotions. He's saying the Lord is full of compassion. He has much compassion. He is many-boweled. He has more compassion than anyone. He is consistent in that compassion. He is full of compassion and merciful. So you're in that difficult circumstance. The boss is yelling. Things are difficult at home. The children aren't being obedient. And all these things are just blowing up. In the midst of that, the Lord is still full of compassion. He's still merciful. He's still kind. So be patient and wait. Be patient and wait for the deliverance of the Lord. It's not easy for me to be patient. I've got a whole lot of my great-grandfather in me. I mean, I'm liable to go out there and plow up the corn after a day or two. I mean, you know, I don't think it's going to do any good. Tammy, I don't think it's coming up. I don't think it will. No, it won't. I promise it. I don't think it will. This will never change, Tammy. This will never. And she talks me down. Yeah. See, I need to grow in patience. I think I'm not alone in that.